Films from Sri Ramanashramam, Part 8, continued from July-August issue. In 1948, Aravind Bose, a Bengali devotee of long standing, shot a series of 16mm color films which were collected together and have been commonly known as the Bose film. This film came into the possession of Sri Ramanashramam only in the 1980s. The camera work done in these films displays a considerable amount of professionalism that is absent in most of the other films taken by devotees, but their real value lies in the content. The film begins with a series of shots taken from up on the hill. We see the terrain surrounding Sri Ramanashramam as it was a half a century ago, and then from Skandashrama, we look down on the great Arunachala temple with a small community surrounding it. Those familiar with Tiruvannamalai will easily observe the sharp contrast to the bustling town of today. Swami Viswanathan is then seen standing on the overlook at Skandashrama and pointing to places of interest. Mr. Bose's daughter Maya stands next to him and looks on. Apparently, Swami Viswanathan served as a guide that day, for we see him again in shots at various other places. What follows is a series of scenes that are mostly connected with the Maharishi's early life. From Skandashrama, we go to Pachayaman Koil. We then see various sites inside the Arunachala temple and scenes from Pavadakundru and Virupaksha cave. We also see on two occasions shots taken during the Kartikeya Deepam festival. There are a great number of pilgrims walking on Pradakshina near the Palitirtham, the large tank next to the ashrama. The tank is full to the brim and many pilgrims are bathing and washing their clothes. We see a man being carried in a palanquin by four bearers and a bhajan party with drum and cymbals following. In another scene, the images from the Arunachala and the Adi Annamalai temples are seen being carried on procession near the front gate of Sri Ramanashramam. There is one view of the wooded Padakuttu, where a bearded Swami in a loincloth, Annamalai Swami, walks out of the Ganesha temple, a short close-up shot of the famed white peacock, and we come to the Maharishi. Bhagavan steps out from the southern door of the dining hall and begins cleaning his teeth. While standing on the steps, the attendant Sivananda stands beside him, having a short crop of white hair on his face and head, a white towel over his left shoulder, and leaning lightly on his cane, he quickly makes his way east between the dining hall and bathroom. A crowd of devotees follow him. We soon see him walking again, flanked on both sides by devotees. Then Mr. Bose appears near the Goshala cowshed and seems to be guiding Bhagavan to the Veda Patasala. The Maharishi stops and about 10 priests and students come out and prostrate before him. One gets the impression that this was not a spontaneous occurrence, but rather an orchestrated act. After they all rise, Bhagavan resumes walking with all the priests and students reverently by his side. Now, we come to the part where Mr. Bose's camera is most effective in capturing the unique qualities of the Maharishi in a very natural manner. We have all read of Sri Bhagavan's love for animals and how he would occasionally go to the Goshala to visit those blessed cows whom he looked upon as ashramites, equal to any humans. This next scene takes us there with him. on one of his regular visits, and we witness, as others did, his love and attention for these often mistreated animals. Looking somewhat lean and cheerful, he walks up to a black cow and begins to gently scratch her back. While doing so, he gazes around, looking to see that everything is being done properly. He moves over to a young calf and rubs its back, gives instructions to a worker, turns to the left, takes one step, and then a gracious smile adorns his face. The reason is soon apparent. His beloved cow, Lakshmi, walks straight to him and bends her head down low. He reaches out to her. At this point, if you slow down the film speed and look at the Maharishi's smiling lips, you can distinctly see him say endearingly, "Amma, mother," as he begins to talk to her. Continued in the January-February 1993 issue.